at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
To be a Black Canadian is to be stuck between worlds. Not Canadian enough for the Canadians, but not cultured enough for our parents' countries. To be a Black Canadian that has been here for multiple generations is to be unacknowledged and all but forgotten. To be a Black Canadian is to be welcomed with one hand and oppressed by the other. It is to be muted. It is to be sold on the story of inclusion while being denied of your own experiences. To be a Black Canadian is to be the younger sibling of Black America. They are the more popular child and always get the attention. Even when we go through similar things, it doesn't seem like anybody cares when they happen to us. It is to have your contributions towards building this country erased. It is to have your stories go untold. It is to have your neighborhoods be gentrified or demolished. It is to come from an English-speaking country only to be put in ESL. To be a Black Canadian is to be raised by parents who were raised in countries where they were the majority. To find yourself being the only one that looks like you in the room. It is to be raised in a society where you will never quite fit in because you can't help but to stand out. Ironically though, to be a Black Canadian is to not feel seen. To not be represented. It is to assimilate to succeed. It is to make less than our white counterparts with the same credentials. To be a Black Canadian is to be from all over the world, to speak many languages, to embody many cultures, but to be seen as one people. Whether first, second, or eighth generation, to be a Black Canadian is to be stuck between worlds and never belonging to one.
Children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy, washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing and resisting. And outlasting the enemy. Living in reality, calling us Red Indians, we have been the colors on a chameleon's back, changing with time, altering the larger pattern, surviving genocide because we have to, living in reality, we are targets of your unfairness. With warriors for targets, you create your own destruction. This is how we bring you down, target by target. You wound yourself. Using your greed, we watch your spirit fade. Living in reality, we can endure your cages, your bullets, your lies, your confusion. We know you have destroyed your peace. Living in reality, you only exist.
Yes, the party starts down here at 515 40th Avenue at the University of Winnipeg, 4.5 floor, Centennial Manitoba Hall. Check us out. It's bad like hell. Nobody know what hell looks like. They just hear about heaven, but they don't know what hell looks like. But we bad like hell. And when we come here to tell you all kind of things. This is Ralph Rico with Prince Pogona, Princess Tim Sulem, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here but never here. Sometimes here, Princess Rachel, and at other times, all the time, Princess Catherine, making sure we stay on top of things. Po! Here we go!
Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Other premiers in denouncing a Supreme Court of Canada ruling on child pornography, and he's pulling no punches.
Child sexual abuse images and video, this is like one of the worst things that anyone can do. Not only should go to prison for a long time, they should bury you under the prison. You shouldn't get protective custody. They should put you into general population, if you know what I mean.
The High Court last week ruled 1 year mandatory minimum jail sentences for accessing or possessing child pornography are unconstitutional. Conservative politicians all across Canada have demanded Ottawa overrule the decision with the notwithstanding clause. Canoe says he agrees.
I think the average person out there hears an announcement like this and just kind of shakes their head. And this is why our Bill 50 was brought into place, so that, yeah, we can protect people's rights in Manitoba, but there's still the ability for a legislature or parliament to take action. When you hear something like this, it just doesn't make sense to the average person.
Canoe says his government is putting forward a bill, the Constitutional Questions Amendment Act, in an effort to give Manitoba a better legal footing when making constitutional challenges.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Talking about Belém, where they're going to have the Earth Crisis meetings coming up. So we salute in Belém, that historic town on the Amazon River, at the mouth of the Amazon, coming out to the Atlantic. Oh, Belém.
Because it is very relevant to the times now, though these verses were written many years ago. But Dirty Turf means not just that the ground is hard, but the times are hard. So it's rain or fall, but Dirty Turf. The rain is falling, but the ground is hard. And dirty is not just a corruption of the word dirty. It's a real African word, D-O-T, dirty, which means the ground, dirty tough. Sun a shine, but things not bright. Do a pot a boil, bickle no enough. River flood and rain a fall. Rain a fall, but dirty tough. Nowadays the time so hard, when you ask Maddy how them do. Them afraid you take it, tell them back, so them no answer you. No care how much we da work for hard times, still in a we shot. We da fight, our time a beat we. They might raise we wages, but £1 gone, and pound we pay, and we no feel no merriment. For £10 gone, and pound we food, and £10 we rent. Saltfish gone up, mackerel gone up, beef and pork gone up, same way. And when rice and butter ready, them just go for holiday. Cloth, boot, pin and needle gone up. Ice bread, taxes, water rate, kerosene, oil, gasoline gone up. And the pound devalue it. The price of bread gone up so high that we have to agree if we cut we yipe and bread and all turn dumpling refugee. And all them margas maddy, where they go on like fatty sin, all them they were fast with me. I left them to dumpling. Sun a shine and pot a boil, but things no bright. Bickle no enough. River flood, rain a fall, but water scarce and dirty tough. Oh, yeah.
Wake up, Margaret. Wake up, Jordan. And Errol, if you're here. Tribute to St. Vincent.
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
For your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? Yeah. You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. Yeah. If you did it then, then you probably can.
It's hard to climb this hill, but Lauren did.
That was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just a minimum. But you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. A win-win, come again. With his rims and his Timbs and his women, him and his men. Come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend, Poppin' Yang.
Like you got yeah.
Let's stop pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waist, man. Chris style by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face, man. Claiming that they did a bit, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking home, breaking out. You wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man. The punk domestic violence man. The quick job asking them stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? Come again.
Michael, daughter of Beatrice Watson, on the local scene.
For you to come home.
Come home.
For you to come home. Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. For you to come. In a blanket, smelling your scent on the pillow, looking outside of the window, waiting for you to come home. It's more fun cooking in the kitchen when I'm cooking with you, when we're cooking for two. Then we am up for food, 2 glass full glass wine bottle into roll up the sheets, giving you love plenty. Then we finish our cups, make up the bed, and we do it again and again, again and again. Tell me when you're coming home. Waiting down by the waters.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action, take it to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Oh, it was dead of freedom.
Yes, from liberation to survival. Hear them. The words coming out strong. I will survive.
Good morning, Winnipeg. You're listening to my favorite radio show, Fantastic Fridays, every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
shout. Watch out the king, the boat, and the queen. I come out, patch out there, spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on and say, watch ya. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a day park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the can, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them won't forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call a need to over me, man a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pay rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle the date me a the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. I'm a plant the cans.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity
and propensity.
Because if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called Nigeria is the brother they call Prince Ogona. They give you news and views from Africa. Prince Ogona.
Good morning, Wasuko, and good morning to all of our listeners. Uno ke du ke kwanu greetings from Africa. For the first piece, we speak with Abel Majid Azite, a Palestine father of nine, whose family joined crowds at the soup kitchen in Khan Yunus on Wednesday. There's a quote from him: "Our life is difficult. Dead people are still better than us. We eat the same food every day. Why? Because we have no other option but the soup kitchen itself." Stay tuned.
And historically, every ceasefire that was negotiated between Hamas and Israel had adopted a phased approach. There would be the first phase where there would be the ostensible cessation of hostilities, and then after that, the idea was always that the negotiators would propel the parties to move into reconstruction, to move into lifting the blockade, to move into other aspects that would make life in Gaza livable. And the reality is that historically, every ceasefire got stuck in the first phase. There was never a real push to get Israel to adopt or to respect the second and third phases of the ceasefire. The parties would get stuck in the first phase. And so when this was negotiated, that was, I think, on the Palestinian side, always the fear that Hamas would release the captives, it would release the bodies of the captives, and then nothing would happen in terms of forcing Israel to respect the commitments that it had made under the ceasefire. And lo and behold, this is exactly where we're at. When the ceasefire, or the so-called ceasefire, was negotiated, the idea was that the U.S. would act as a guarantor, and that it would compel Israel to abide by its commitments. The reality is that the killing hasn't stopped. This is not a ceasefire. The killing hasn't stopped. The starvation continues. The aid that's going in is nowhere near what is needed. There's no ability to allow Palestinians to go back to any semblance of a dignified life. And so the reality is that the narrative is of a ceasefire. The reality is of the continuation of the genocide.
And what do you think? I mean, even if they were to move on to the second phase of the ceasefire deal, I mean, your assessment of the deal overall?
Listen, the assessment of the deal overall is that it's a horrific deal. It doesn't give the Palestinians any space for actual self-governance. It brings Israel off the hook entirely. The Israeli regime has committed a genocide for 2 years, live streamed for everyone to see. And the narrative of the ceasefire is that now we just go back into this language of reconstruction and peace. Where's accountability? Netanyahu is a wanted war criminal. The people around him are war criminals. How do we deal with the fact that this live stream genocide is now being normalized and we just are expected to go back into a reality where we talk about peace and reconstruction? Before we do any of that, there has to be accountability. And Palestinians are the ones that have to govern Palestinian territory, not this international force that comes in that takes any kind of sovereignty or agency away from the Palestinian people.
And you've also, of course, written a book, as we mentioned, on Hamas. What about the requirement, the provision of Hamas having to disarm and relinquish political power in Gaza?
Hamas has always been consistent that it would be part of a Palestinian polity that would be inclusive, that brings other Palestinian factions in, that collectively are able to determine what future Palestinians might have. The requirement for disarmament has always been a tool that Israel has used and the U.S. has used to justify continued acts of oppression and violence against the Palestinian people. I've always said the same thing. If Hamas were to disappear tomorrow, if all of its weapons were to disappear tomorrow, the blockade will not end. The genocide will not end. This is not about Hamas. This is an Israeli war against the Palestinian people. It's a demographic war aimed at exterminating as many Palestinians as possible.
Yes, man. Well said.
All right. For our next piece, we go to Black Agenda Radio, where Speaker Gerald Pereira is the chairperson of the Organization for the Victory of the People in Guyana. He joins to discuss Trump's regime change threats against neighboring Venezuela, which have included the extrajudicial killings of people said to be drug traffickers.
What we are worried about is any attempt at regime change in Venezuela is going to have disastrous consequences for the region. This is going to affect Guyana, Trinidad, and other countries, as well as it's going to spill over into Colombia and even into Brazil. I did point out that any attack on Venezuela, we will find one of the guerrilla groups in Colombia, the National Liberation Army. That's a guerrilla group that did not lay down their weapons, like the FARC, and they have been in negotiations with President Petro. But they're holding their weapons, and they're going to join. They've already said that they will join with the in defense of the Bolivarian Revolution. We've seen that already. I did point to that. And then Trump said the other day that one of the boats that was destroyed was linked to that guerrilla group. We know that this is not primary. They want to remove the President Maduro and destroy the Bolivarian Revolution so they can impose this woman, Maria Machado, a puppet of the empire, and to take control of the oil and gas of Venezuela. They will have cheap gas. It's also aimed at Russia and China, especially China, in the region, because Trump is upset that Venezuela has links to BRICS and Venezuela is prepared to sell in oil and gas to other countries outside without using their U.S. dollar. So this is about taking control of the huge oil and gas reserves that Venezuela possess. They have the largest in the world. And also bringing about regime change in Venezuela will also allow the U.S. to have a permanent military base in Guyana. This is what they're up to. Guyana is a very big country. And there are parts of Guyana that you can go to and you can hide out for 1 year and no one will be able to find you. So we don't know. We suspect that the U.S. have CIA outposts there and others, maybe a base. This is what we believe. And that is why Venezuela been years ago, Venezuela been warning about this. And Venezuela allies, of course, will have been providing them with the necessary intelligence. But the Guyana government and the government of Trinidad and Tobago, they have bought into the colossal lie of the United States that Venezuela is behind the drugs, the illegal drugs that are reaching the United States. And we know that this is not true. Many have shown where, including President Petro of Colombia, where the drugs is really coming from. And if the drugs do pass through Venezuela, they're intercepted. The Venezuelan military seizes the drugs. So the drugs is not coming from Venezuela. This is not about drugs. This is about regime change. Because if you want to go after the drugs, you will have to go to places like Ecuador and Peru, where a lot of the drugs is coming from, originated from. And as President Petro said, he said that he, over the years, many years, have been fighting and talking out against senators and congressmen who are linked to the drug cartels. And when he was doing so, they wanted to kill him. And of course, the CIA and Trump and the DEA, the drug enforcement agencies, they're well aware of this. But he decertified, as you said, Petro. And the ones, the Colombian politicians, be they senators or congressmen, he, of course, they're not going against them, going after them. I just want to, since we are on this issue of drugs, the terrorist group that took control of Syria, that was linked to Al-Qaeda, they were involved in the drug running for years. They were involved in drug running for years, and they were linked to carrying drugs into places like into Lebanon. And the U.S. is aware of this, and the U.S. supported these so-called freedom fighters to remove the Assad regime. And today you see that these pseudo-jihadists, they are friends of allies of the United States. And while the 2 years, we've gone into 2 years of genocide, those who have taken power in Syria did not lift a finger against the Zionists. They did not. Where is Al-Qaeda? Where is ISIL? It's 2 years of genocide. They have not lifted a finger against the Zionists. And this is because what we have pointed out many years ago, including 2011, when Gaddafi said he was fighting Al-Qaeda. He was right. We knew it.
Yeah, you're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Coming up, we are going to hear a piece regarding Sudan, also from Democracy Now. And then we're also going to have Ibrahim to comment on that piece as well. But Ibrahim is using the washroom. So we're going to play four in the meantime while we try and get him on.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black or you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long.
So in this piece from Democracy Now, Mathilde Vu, Sudan Advocacy Manager at the Norwegian Refugee Council, talks to us. He urges the U.S. to put pressure on the United Arab Emirates, which has backed the RSF in the civil war, as the group carries out acts that are tantamount to genocide. So we're going to play this piece now, and then Brother Ibrahim, who is on the other end, will probably comment on the piece. Listening.
So what's happening is no less than a mass calculated long plan campaign of destruction and annihilation, a mass slaughter of civilians, deliberate attack on civilian infrastructure like the hospital that you just mentioned. It just became a killing ground as hundreds of people were sheltering in it. And it's not only in Al-Fashir, anyone who is trying to flee Al-Fashir right now is subjected to horrifying violence. My teams are not in Al-Fashir. No one is. There hasn't been any organization allowed to deliver assistance into Al-Fashir for the past 500 days. We were receiving people who have managed to flee, who have survived it, 60 kilometers of horror, of looting, of attack, of rape, mass detention. And it's just overwhelming to see this mass atrocity unfolding, we speak. You know, what really strikes us is that we are in this town called Tawila, where we're receiving the people who are fleeing. And there's only a few thousand people, actually a little bit more than 5,000 people who've managed to reach Tawila. But we know that 10,000 of people are trying to flee Al-Fashir. So where are all those 10,000 of families, you know? And we really fear that they're being attacked. We know of mass detention on the way. We know that men are being separated and then detained. The women who've managed to flee are telling us that they've been raped. One of the things that strike me the most is that when I look at the data that we have from Tawila, one in 10 families have children that are not their own. You know what that means? That means that the parents have disappeared. That means that the parents have been killed on the way and that those children have just had to run with other families in order to arrive in Tawila with nothing else but unknown people that are protecting them.
What we've seen in the now over 72 hours since RSF has taken control of Al-Fashir is quite simply the sum of all our fears over the past year and a half. We see clear evidence of house-to-house killing, as evidenced by the appearance in the street and by the berm, the earthen wall surrounding Al-Fashir, of objects that range from 1.3 meters to 2 meters in satellite imagery. Why that's important is the average human body, when laid on the ground horizontally, measures between 1.3 to 2 meters. Additionally, we're seeing around those objects in many cases a peculiar red discoloration in the initial imagery collection. We believe that red discoloration can only be explained by blood, given our processing of those discolorations. They are all the same color, which is called true red. Additionally, we see by the earthen wall on the first day of RSF control, these objects consistent with bodies, consistent with the videos RSF themselves have posted of them shooting men in a trench near the wall. On the second day, the images we collected showed that those objects had not moved in the intervening 24 hours, but in fact, those objects had increased in number, and that vehicles consistent with RSF vehicles with gun mount, basically large machine guns mounted in the back, were patrolling along the wall. And again, we saw the red discoloration on the ground. So right now, we can conclude with high confidence that RSF is killing at a scale and a velocity that I haven't seen since Rwanda.
Once again, we thank Demokrasi Now for that piece. And good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, Mwana.
How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing quite well. So, in lieu of what we just listened to, you know, I'm wondering if you can maybe give a comment or two regarding the piece, and then, you know, if you wanted to add anything extra, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I heard the piece, but it's not clear for me right now because the sound. I don't get all information what they say, mm-hmm. but I get the few information anyhow. To be honest, and that I don't be able to give you the same command in that piece because it's not clear for me. But I wanna say what I heard on the ground, and I still following with the people on the ground there. And one guy said the body's on the ground, and the kind of the car is that. Yes, I have that kind of friend, but it's not completely in that way. Yeah, but it's true. The people, when you see in October 26, 27, and 28, that was really bad days in Fashir, and people was really genocide that was committed by the rabbit forces and his aligned Arab Emirate that he support. And there is other things is come outside, but people is still investigating because that is connected with outside countries like Libya or the Chad, that kind of thing. But I will tell you what I spoke with the people, because people saying there is many people just left for the who they died in the Saudi hospital or the in the main places, but there is other people they died in their homes, and there is many children and elders also died, and also there is many people when they move going out from the fear, they move in a different direction, and there is many people lost, and some they went in the west and now in the area of the city Colossal is a fashion. I think that's 6 kilos 16 kilos at Tawila. And majority of they went there. When they get there, the people, because they have been long time didn't eat and didn't drink, and people already doesn't have the energy. When they get there, there many people also dead, and some children also pass away from there. And yeah, and other people, they went the south of the Fashir, and some to north, they're still holding with the Janjaweed. And Janjaweed is still asking for the ransom to people to pay in order to free. And some people is still not yet, people doesn't know where they went, and that is still in counting. And that is all situation is still in Fashir. Up to now, it's not solved. But people, yeah, really in the very bad situation. And that what is going on right now in Fashir, but people is still searching and people is still counting, and there is no real position to be able to search because the area is still controlling with the rabbit forces, and they not allow the people to get the things properly. But we is still waiting, maybe one day we people can hear the truth, what is going on in Sudan in that genocide. And that is a situation in the area of Fashir. And if you move in the area of Kurdufan, and also there in the city of one city, and people also that they are still controlling there. And yes, in general, there is just dying going on in between civilian people in Sudan, and that is a whole situation when the rabbit forces are doing, and just people just asking to emphasize that people as a rabbit forces to be just terrorists and a genocide they commit in Darfur. And that situation right now, what the people doing, the situation is really very bad, but people just still need the help and some kind of the aid, yeah, and some kind of the medication. And that is a whole situation right now, and just we waiting to see what is going to be happen in Sudan right now.
Let me ask you a question that you probably had before, but didn't quite answer it. Where is the Sudanese army right now? When you say they were fighting the Janjaweeds or the RSF for a long while, where are they right now with Al-Fashir being wiped out?
Yeah, because the Janjaweed and situation of Fashir, it has been almost 16 months. Because that blockade with the Janjaweed and Sudanese army and the foreign NGO troop wasn't able to get there, and that situation is happening because that is helping with the Emirate controlling with almost like many countries and getting help and they support and they bring the rangers and foreigners in many countries, and that was really very difficult to get there, but they still operating in Sudan, and now also they still continue to operate the Sudan in order to liberate all over the Sudan, because this is the occupiers, and yeah, and so difficult when you have the limited capacity, and other people, you see the difference between that, because they have the sophisticated weapon and they bring all over the world in advanced technology and that kind of thing they're facing, but they don't hesitate. They still continues, and now they're more aggressive and they're more united, and Sudanese public, Sudanese national, and Sudan nation is united beyond the army and beyond the leaders, and eventually you soon gonna hear it, the Sudan will be out of this problem, but that thing is sometimes is taking time and you don't know what is going on, but they still working in that direction.
I still haven't heard anything about where the Sudanese army went when the Sudanese army was fighting on behalf and together with Darfur people against the RSF. Now, it make the RSF look like a big, wicked army, and the Sudanese army was there intact. Now, if it is a civil war, it will have different peoples within the